Oddly enough, in my homily preparations for this great solemnity, my attention turned to Our Lady of Fatima. Now, some of you might know what that means. Our Lady appeared in a small village just outside of Fatima, a city in Portugal, in 1917, over a period of about 6 months. And I wasn't always a devotee, I guess you might say, of Fatima. I thought it was kind of conspiratorial, and I didn't pay too much attention to it for most of my priesthood until the 100th anniversary year in 2017. It got into my heart what was going on, and I started to read about it. And finally, last summer, I actually went there and visited. Our Lady, when she appeared to the children, spoke of the spread of the errors of Russia. And I've often, since I've come into it and read about it, I wonder, what are these errors of Russia? And I think I've found and discovered at least one of them anyway. And it's this: the false belief that we can put Jesus on trial again. That's one of the errors of Russia. Because if you go back to the revolution in 1917 in Russia, what they basically did was the revolution completely destroyed the previous society, structure, government, everything, and from there began to rebuild society, government, family, everything from the ground up with no reference to Christ, no reference to God, because there is no God. It was completely atheistic. That's the first time in history that ever happened. And you don't do that without putting Christ on trial, finding him wanting, and dismissing him. And that's what happened. But see, here's the error there. You can't put Christ on trial again. That's the error. We did put him on trial once before Pilate. The judgment was you deserve death by capital punishment, and he was completely innocent. And that's what happened. That's what the crucifixion is. That's what the crucifix tells us. This man suffered an injustice of capital punishment for crimes he never committed. But see, now, and this is what the ascension really tells us, he's out of the reach of our meager judgments. He can't be put on trial again. But I'll tell you right now, that era of Russia that began in 1917 is currently in our own culture. We have a wholesale abandonment of Christ in culture within the United States today. And it's because people have, again, put Christ on trial, found him wanting, and dismissed him. He's irrelevant to me. He's irrelevant to my life. I want nothing to do with him. I don't see why we have to do all this stupid religion stuff. And that's where we are. But see, that's an error. Because we can't put him on trial again. He's outside of our capacity to put him on trial. And the consequences of our dismissal of him and putting him on trial again and getting rid of Christ and living our lives as though there is no God has been not so, it's an affront to Jesus, yes, but we're the ones that suffer as a result. We're the ones. We have to suffer the consequence of forsaking love and what love is. And that's what Jesus is. He's a master lover. Now, the fact that we have put him on trial and dismissed him proves also that he is not a tyrant. He is not a dictator. He is not a toxic diva, kind of narcissistic deity who gets upset and all dramatic because we won't pay attention to him. I don't see anybody coming on your throat or putting you in a gulag like Joseph Stalin did in Russia. Or we don't have death camps in the United States where Jesus sends people that won't acknowledge him. Look at him. He's right there in the Eucharist, right there in that tabernacle. How non-threatening can you be? How non-threatening can you be? I mean, completely, easily judged as irrelevant. And see, one of the reasons is, it's true, he is not a tyrant, he's not a dictator. In fact, last time I checked in the Old Testament, God delivered us from tyrants like Pharaoh, who were oppressive, slave drivers. He delivered us from them. He doesn't like them, and he's not one himself. And why is that? Well, it's actually quite simple. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him. He wants us to love him. And that's our poverty. We fail at love. That's what we do. And when we forsake him who is love, he is the Son of the living God, we weaken and forsake the path to healing our nature so that we can grow in a greater capacity to love. And that's all he wants from us. It's all he wants from us is our love. That's it. That's why he's not a tyrant. Tyrants are to be feared, not loved. Jesus, on the other hand, way more powerful than any tyrant you could ever imagine on the face of the earth. And he doesn't bear his power in a worldly way like that. And that's one of the reasons people dismiss him. They want him to. I want you to get in there and start wielding your power and kicking people around and all that kind of thing. But he's not going to do it because that's not how he is. Because he wants our love. If he really did want to scare us, he would have never come among us as a little baby at Bethlehem. My God, no. How more vulnerable and non-threatening can you be? And just like, love me. I mean, that's what a baby says. A baby basically says, love me. Yeah, that's right. Right? Ears to hear right over there, that little one over there. That's right. That's what a baby says, and that's what Jesus comes. And that is the Son of the living God. And so he ascends into the heavens. Now, see, here's the deal, though. I understand you might still want someone that's going to be a bully, that's going to get in there and start to clear out the ground in front of you so that you don't have to suffer injustice ever again. But see, that's not what's going to happen. I don't know about you. I know I have. I've suffered injustice. It's miserable. But see, when Jesus rose from the dead, not only did he put himself beyond our capacity to put him on trial again and to judge him, this entire creation you and I live in now is under judgment by his resurrection, that it's going to pass away. That's the judgment upon this whole order of creation that comes to us from the resurrection. You will not last. This creation, within which prophets have been persecuted and put to death, this creation within which good is buried and pushed aside, this creation in which truth is compromised with lies, deceit, and hiding, this creation in which beauty is hijacked for the purposes of our own self-aggrandizement, this creation peppered with cemeteries of the dead is not going to last. Because Jesus Christ, in rising from the dead, is the beginning of the new creation. And we can't stop it. We can't stop it from coming. What we await is a new heavens and a new earth. This world is passing away. It's under sentence of final and complete destruction by Christ. That's what it is. The only way you could stop that is if you could kill him. But we can't do that anymore. We did it once, put him in the grave, he rose. That's it. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. So what is our choice? Well, our choice is to get on board. And we do that by learning to persevere in love, because that's our way into the kingdom. That's our way into the kingdom. And the ascension basically is Jesus setting himself up as the final judge. He's on his throne. And the injustices we suffer here, yeah, when I suffer injustice, when you suffer injustice, don't we feel like we want to pull out our weapons and start fighting and busting people's heads? Don't we? Don't we want to get back? But see, when I start doing that, I have failed. I have failed, and I have failed in love. So now is a time of repentance, forgiveness. But when he comes and this whole order is passing away, that will be the time of justice. And he's cultivating that new creation. He's cultivating it by calling us into the revolution he started, which is a revolution of love. And we need to persevere in that, because we are tempted, like Peter, to pull out our sword and cut off Malchus's ear. And Jesus said, Peter, put that away. That's not how it goes. Follow me, Peter. I'm going to the cross. And Jesus suffered injustice like we do. But here's the promise. The injustice you suffer is going to be met on the other side in final judgment by Christ. I know it seems like everybody's getting away with it today. No, they're not. No one's getting away with anything. The hidden people that were killed by the thousands in the forests of Poland by the Nazis, all secret, mass graves, no one found them. There are probably still some there we haven't found. All of them are known to Christ, and they will come up for final judgment. Those people that suffered injustice, this side of the grave will know it on the other. And so will we. With one exception. If the people who do you injustice repent and receive forgiveness, they'll meet a merciful Savior. But if you don't repent, you're going to meet a judge. And Jesus, he doesn't want to be the severe judge. No, he doesn't. He doesn't want to have to treat us that way. That's why he's not treating us that way now. But justice is justice. And if we aren't going to repent, then yes, we will have to face the judge. But if we do repent, and I don't care what you've done, it doesn't really even matter at this point. You need to repent. That's the key. And you will meet a merciful Savior. And that's why he died on the cross, is to make that possible for us. Now is the time of repentance, mercy, forgiveness, and love. And that's why we need to keep trying to persevere in it and follow Jesus on the way of the cross. So, brothers and sisters, today, just to recognize that what Jesus has come is to enter into a loving relationship with each one of you here. There's no one here that he doesn't want that with. Not one of you. Not one of you. Oh, well, I'm not a priest. Doesn't matter. Well, I'm just a lowly high school student. He couldn't possibly. Yes, he does. Well, I haven't prayed in months. He still wants a relationship with you. Well, I hardly ever pay attention to him. Hey, maybe you want to get on board a little bit more. Because he definitely wants a loving relationship with each and every one of you in this church today. That's what he came for. And that's all he wants. That's all he wants is your love.